Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Human Rights Demand. We thank you for joining us today on Human Rights Demand, when we will discuss CIT programs for the safer arrest of mentally ill people in the United States of America. As you might know, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Subcommittee is having a hearing regarding CIT training for police officers on April 29th, Tuesday, and they invite the public's comments regarding crisis intervention training for police officers. Another way that you can participate in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings is, of course, by traveling to Washington, D.C., and meeting with the senators in person there. If you, like me, live far away from Washington, then you can also submit your comments to an email box. The statements for the record. The U.S. Senate published this invitation. Chairman Durbin invites stakeholders to offer their perspectives and experiences on these issues by submitting written testimony to be included in the hearing record. Statements help educate committee members about the issue and are important to demonstrating community interest. Statements must be submitted as a PDF or Word document of 10 pages or less and should be emailed to Durbin, D-U-R-B-I-N, _ testimony at judiciary-dem, senate.gov. Now, this time I'm going to spell it for you and get your pencil ready. Submit 10 pages or less by PDF or Word document to Durbin, D-U-R-B-I-N, _ testimony, T-E-S-T-I-M-O-N-Y, at judiciary, J-U-D-I-C-I-A-R-Y, -. DEM dot Senate, S-E-N-A-T-E, dot gov. As early as possible, but no later than Monday, April 28th, that's today, at 5 p.m. Please note that the subcommittee cannot accept previously published information, such as newspaper articles or reports, as statement for the record. So that's the second way that you can get your voice heard by the U.S. Senate regarding CIT programs for police officers to learn nonviolent methods for incarcerating the mentally ill and avoid the deaths by police as well as serious injury to our mentally ill relatives, friends, and neighbors. So we're going to right now let the public weigh in on this matter, and I am going to send this tape to Senator Durbin, but since it is previously published on Blog Talk Radio, it may not become a part of the Senate hearing record. If you want to be sure that your input is a part of the Senate hearing record, then you will need to send a PDF or Word document to the email address that I just called out for you. Also, you can go to my blog, Dog Justice for Mentally Ill, and the Senate invitation is published there for you. So in case you didn't get to write down the email address, you can go to Dog Justice for Mentally Ill blog, and the Senate email address is published there for you. Yesterday, I met with a number of people on Human Rights Demand Channel, and the general consensus was that we favor CIT programs for police officers to learn nonviolent methods of arresting the mentally ill. We are for that. However, we feel that it won't do the good that it could do if police officers were held more accountable for injuries and deaths than they presently are. In other words, they already have training that should be useful in bringing in any American, not just the mentally ill, but safe capture of any American without all of these deaths of unarmed people. But they don't necessarily obey their training, and we submit to the U.S. Senate that is a primary issue, not just special training for bringing in mentally ill people, but they must observe the training they already have and the rules that are already in place regarding the civil rights and the human rights of American citizens. And we're not sure that the police officers who go through CIT training will observe the practices that they're taught in this present climate where anything goes regarding police capture, regarding police conduct. So that is a very big concern. I'm going to open up the lines now for you to call in. We already have some callers. I have room for three more callers. The telephone number is 347-57-3293. Again, the guest call-in number for Human Rights Demand is 347-857-3293. And you don't have to be mentally ill. You don't have to have a mentally ill relative or friend. You could just be a concerned citizen. You could be a prisoner activist. You could be an advocate for human rights. Whoever you are, if you care about all of these deaths during arrest, if you care about all of these serious injuries during arrest that mentally ill people are subjected to, this is your opportunity to speak about that now. Our first caller was 8522. You're on the line. How are you?
I'm great, Dr. Mary. This is Elizabeth Gaskins from Illinois. Senator Durbin, I ask that you please educate the people about the American disability violations in the United States with our people that have mental illness in your prison system. We ask that you educate the officers and the prison system as well as our courts about the mental illness in the United States. It's become a problem in our prison system. Many have died throughout the United States, and we ask that you pass this bill and read this bill properly for the people that have disabilities and not just the officers that are uneducated about mental illness in the United States. I support this House bill.
All right. Now, thank you so much for calling in. Are you speaking of H.R. 3717, the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act? Is that the bill you're speaking of?
Yes, that's the bill.
So, okay. Now, are you aware that the U.S. Senate is meeting tomorrow to discuss only one provision of H.R. 3717? Only one provision of the bill, and that is CIT training for police officers. Are you aware of that?
Yes, and I feel that this bill is not going to be active, and it's going to be inactive because there's not enough about the mental illness that they need to be educated. Our police department, our prison system are not designed to deal with the mental illness. The United States has a House bill that was passed for advocates to deal with the mental illness, and they are not doing these things for the people that deserve the treatment that they're entitled to underneath America's disability rights.
Yes, I think you spoke to us about that yesterday, and you said that mentally ill people have the right to have an advocate with them anytime they have to go before the court. Now, is that advocate in addition to an attorney?
They're entitled to legal process underneath the Constitution. Any person that has a disability is entitled to have legal representation, whether it be an advocate or a court-appointed attorney that deals with America's disability rights.
So they're entitled to an advocate in addition to an attorney, or just a representation, and they could choose to use an advocate. What are you saying?
That's correct. An attorney needs to be notified that the person has a disability, therefore he needs to appoint a special attorney that deals with America's disability rights. If he's not, he doesn't practice in that type of law. Also, the disability person is entitled to have an advocate at all times to answer questions, ask questions to the attorney representing the claim or the incarceration of the mental illness. We also need...
Okay. Go ahead.
We need to open up more facilities. Courts need to have a special court for the mental illness in each state and county in the United States. We have our state capital, which has America's disability rights, but our local city and counties don't have experienced attorneys, nor judges, nor advocates that represent the disability rights of the mental illness today. There are so many in prison that they're not being treated with due process of the laws.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate your statement today regarding CIT training for police officers. And your concern is not just during the arrest process, but it sounds like your concern is with the entire criminal justice process regarding a mentally ill defendant. Is that right?
That's correct. Some have POA, power of attorneys, that are representing their families, which they are denied. The family is denied due process to the mental illness, which is not the way the Constitution or the law with American disability rights is designed. There are special laws that come in effect with the ones with disability. Hidden disabilities were visual disabilities in the United States. A lot are in prison today that were not, their disability was not taken into consideration, so the United States has disregarded in the rights to theirs underneath America's disability rights. That should be their protection underneath the disability rights. They should not be in prison. They should be in a state facility where they get due care and due care for their disabilities, not in prison.
So you're saying that their disability was disregarded not just during their arrest, but also during the judicial process regarding them being a defendant, their disability was ignored. Is that right?
Yes, and mismanagement of the rights of the people that had to their disability was when an officer arrests you and do you have any of these diseases, illnesses, la-da-da, when they immediately you tell them you have a disability, they should assign or appoint someone in the court that deals with that underneath the federal rules of regulations of law. They're not no longer under the state. They're underneath the federal rules of law.
Well, you know, we have more mental health courts now than there used to be, and we thank you for bringing that out regarding the judicial process as it regards the mentally ill. And I will come back to you for another opportunity for you to speak. I want you to know that at some point, your voice got a lot lower on the phone near the end, so you might want to adjust your volume. We also have 5309 on the line. Hello, 5309. How are you today?
Hi, Mary. How are you? I'm doing good.
Great. I'm glad to have you.
My name is Lynn Eaglefeather, and I have called into the show before. I am calling on behalf of my son and myself. My son is incarcerated right now, and he's on medication. Every time they send him to jail, he's on medication. but he doesn't, when he gets out, there is no follow-up. So I'm asking Senator Durbin to please pass this bill, H.R. 3717, and also for the AOT program to get them help after they get out, you know, get them help to prevent them from getting into any further trouble, to make sure that they are in a structured environment, to make sure that they are taking their medication, that they are doing what they're supposed to do, counseling, training, you know, if they can't work, you know, have them do something else, you know, keep them occupied so they will stay out of trouble. Now, I was on a depression pill, severely depressed before, and I was incarcerated in jail for a short time. I was denied my medication. I took it to jail with me, and I was denied that. And it really got bad for me while I was in jail. But I think that it's coming out of the taxpayers' pockets, that it is costing more to put them back into prison than it would be to house them and to get them the proper help that they need. United States is helping other countries. Why can't we help our own people? Why can't we help our own people right here that need the help? The homeless, most of the homeless are mentally ill. You see the people walking down the streets talking to themselves. Now why can't somebody go take them, you know, off the streets and put them in somewhere to get them help instead of them ending up getting raped or killed? And so I'm just so so much for this bill to be passed, because if it is, then there will be a lot more people getting help, a lot more people off the street, a lot more people out of prisons and getting help that they need.
Well, I agree with you fully, and I wish that the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee was going to meet tomorrow on the entire provisions of H.R. 3717. However, it appears that they're only meeting and taking testimony regarding CIT programs, so that police officers will be better trained to bring them more mentally ill people alive, because we know a great deal of the arrests end up being leading to funerals. We know that a great many police officers have killed people who were very young and people who were very elderly, who were suffering from old age dementia all the way down to young children. In fact, we know that some autistic children as young as 6 years old have been tasered in their classroom by police officers. And one old boy had his picture. He was beaten in his classroom by police officers. And so, yes, the Senate Judiciary Committee is primarily focusing tomorrow on CIT training, that's crisis intervention training, for police officers to be trained regarding how to make safer arrests of mentally ill people. You and I both know that a good deal of what goes under the headline of untrained police officers, it really has a lot to do with police officers who are ignoring the training that they've already received. We say that they're not trained in how to do safe arrest of the mentally ill, but in fact we know that 1.25 million people who are imprisoned in America are mentally ill. So therefore, many of these same police officers have arrested mentally ill people safely in the past. because who arrested that 1.25 million that made it to jail alive? Very often it's the same police officers who we say don't know how to do it because they have not been trained. There's such a thing as on-the-job training. I submit to you that I believe the police officers have already learned how to arrest the mentally ill without hurting them if they choose to observe proper rules. Anybody knows that it was totally disregarding the laws that they already know for them to beat Kelly Thomas to death, an unarmed, surrendered man who was crying, "Please, officer, please, and help me, Daddy, help me." They know already that what they were doing was overuse of force. So very often, you know, we've used that excuse for police officers saying, well, they're not trained in crisis intervention. But the truth is that they ignore proper standard police procedures when it comes to arresting certain people. And that is usually reserved for the least among us. You know, that includes the mentally ill and people of color. So we can pay for crisis intervention training, and I think it is needed, and I do support it. But we have no guarantee that the police officers who are trained will actually observe their training, because there is no accountability or very little accountability for police abuse. Do you agree with that, Ms. Eagle Feather?
Yes, I do, because I have been a victim of police abuse, brutality. And so is my son.
So your son, who has schizophrenia, is that right?
Yes.
He has been abused by police officers. Was that during an arrest?
Yes. They let the dogs bite him. They let the attack dogs get at him, and they also tasered him. He's been tasered a couple times. Every time that they come to, I would have a problem with him and call the police, they would have their taser guns out. And I said, please don't, you know, he's not combative. He's just drunk. So they were ready to taser him. So, yes, he has been brutalized by the police.
So that's a common thing for the mentally ill, to be tasered. Many of them have died as a result of tasering, and also severe dog bites. A man called me who said that he was arrested on a domestic violence a warrant regarding his domestic violence against his girlfriend. He said that they did not brutalize him until after they got him to the jail. I want the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee that's studying CIT to realize that it needs to go further. It needs to go into the jails and prisons, not just the police officers doing the arrest. Because many, many mentally ill people are killed after they get to jail, after they've been booked into custody. That's where the killing ordinarily happens. The general public may not see films of the murders that happen inside of jails. They may not see films of the brutality that happens in the intake area. But it does happen, and they have better control to keep the video of those deaths and of those brutality incidents from reaching the public. But that is where a great deal of brutality happens, in the jail. One man called me, as I started to say, because of the domestic dispute that he was arrested about. And when he got to jail, he said that the police put him in a holding cell and turned loose their dog in this close space with him and told the dog to sick him. And so the dog bit him on his leg, clear through to his bone, and took out a plug of flesh. And so this was after the arrest. So I asked that the Senate Judiciary Committee, subcommittee, the studying CIT, will realize that it's not just important that the arresting police officers have CIT training, but the brutality must stop behind bars. The brutality that our mentally ill inmates live with day after day in solitary confinement, which is against their human rights. And the Human Rights Commission did speak to America regarding this abuse, the solitary confinement, which alters the shape, the physical shape of the brain after a period of days. It's been shown that it's altered after a period of days in solitary confinement. So we must also be concerned about mental patients after they've been arrested, because that's what we're going to do with CIT training for police officers, is shine a spotlight on how mentally ill people are treated during arrest. So what's to stop abusive police officers from just making sure that they throw the person in a police car and take them in custody and then beat them, then turn their dogs loose on them, then taser them to death, then restrain them on a restraint chair or restraint table until they're dead? What's going to stop that from being the new modus operandi? Because I'm telling you that the problem is not simply a matter of people not having crisis intervention training. The problem is, if you must take one problem and ignore the others, the problem is the lack of accountability for police brutality, the lack of accountability for police murders. So I'm going to turn it back over now to 8522. What do you say, 8522?
I agree with you, Mary. I myself am a crime victim of police brutality, as well as my daughter. In 1991, my daughter was 14 years old. I was beat by a police officer, gun held to my head. I have a mental illness. I post-traumatic stress disorder. My daughter was put in the back vehicle of a police, and they took pictures of her disrobed body. My daughter has taken her life due to this police abuse and uneducation of the police department and them being held accountable. She was also raped in prison. My daughter had very low self-esteem. She developed...
You know what? You're not coming in very clear at all. Your daughter committed suicide as a result of the brutality she suffered behind bars. Is that right? She was raped. Is that right?
That's correct. She was raped in Indiana.
She was raped by the prison guards. Is that right?
She was raped by inmates, but the prison guards put her in solitary confinement after the fight she had fought the girls off that raped her. They stuck a bar of soap up her rectum. My daughter never recovered from this. She was a virgin and of her anal, and she took her life. She couldn't handle the fact that another inmate had raped her, and the prison guards allowed this rape to happen in the Indiana prison system.
Were the guards watching as she was being raped?
I'm not sure. I'm sure they had film and cameras in the prison. They should have had prison cameras and films up so they could have monitored this type of behavior with ones that have sexual problems in the prison.
And so after she reported her rape, they put her in solitary confinement. Is that right?
That's correct. She was stuck in a hoe for 60 days and had to urinate in a hoe and feed in a hoe, and she never come out of this depression that she had.
It put her in deep depression to have been raped and then for herself to be treated as though she was the one to blame. She went into a depression, and she never really came out, and eventually she killed herself because she was raped in prison. Is that right?
Yes, it caused her to have a low self-esteem, and it damaged my daughter permanently. That's why she took her life, because she couldn't understand why the prison system never gave her help after the rape. When she'd come out of prison, she was homeless, no money, nowhere to live. She lived wherever she could with her mental illness.
So the thing is that one thing we want the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee to know is that people are brutalized, raped, killed in prison, in jails, throughout this nation. And so CIT training needs to be more inclusive than just the arresting police officers. Number two, we need more accountability after crimes by police. I said after crimes by police officers, we need more accountability, because otherwise what we will do with placing the emphasis on safe arrest and not placing the emphasis on safety inside of jails and prisons, what we will have is a culture where police officers get mentally ill people, take them in custody, and then kill them. Take them in custody and then rape them. Take them in custody and then beat them to death. Take them in custody and then cook them to death, as happened to a black veteran in Rikers Island. Take them in custody and then lie and say they do not have them in custody, like they did with my brother. My brother was secretly arrested. That's a kidnapping. And he was placed in the custody of Memphis Shelby County Jail. And Memphis is where CIT training originated. And he was kept there while police denied to his family and denied to his social worker that he was in custody for 18 days. That's how long they lied. They did nothing to help look for him, because they did not have to look for him. They knew where he was. Every inmate is fingerprinted upon arrest. He had a missing person report because he did not return home to his care home the night that he went missing. He was not missing. He was arrested. And they kept him because they knew that deprivation of his vital heart medicines would kill him. Mentally ill people are still people, and they have other conditions other than mental illness that oftentimes are not addressed properly, because they may lack the communication skills that would be necessary to relay to their prison guards that they need hypertension medicine, they need sugar diabetes medicine, they need special diets for their physical conditions. So we ask that you also give crisis intervention training even to the doctors in jails and hospitals, because they need to know how to speak to the mentally ill. They need to at least show the care to look up the records and see what physical conditions that the mentally ill suffer from, so that they won't be deliberately deprived of life-saving medications like my brother was, his heart drugs, until he was dead. Whether they also tasered him to death or killed him in a restraint device or brutalized him, we do not know, because the U.S. government and Shelby County government refused to give us records. Yes, we did have wrongful death attorneys, the Jenny Cochran firm, but the Jenny Cochran firm had a lead partner who was the commissioner. He was the leading commissioner on the Shelby County Board of Commission, and he actually took this case, the Cochran firm took this case in a secret conflict of interest, and then they worked with the jail behind our backs. They worked with the jail to actually prevent filing of a lawsuit by pretending that they were filing the lawsuit. And they did this during the statute of limitations for the state of Tennessee. After that, we sued the Jenny Cochran firm, and judges got in on the act. The judge over U.S. District Court here in Georgia said that whatever the Cochran firm did to prevent a lawsuit against Memphis Shelby County Jail was immaterial. That's what a federal judge said. That's what he ruled and dismissed the case. A Georgia Superior Court judge, Wendy Shoub, said that the Cochran firm doesn't exist in the state of Georgia, which is probably the biggest lie that's on record for any court, because we know that the Cochran firm is right downtown at 127 Peachtree Street, advertised and doing business as the Cochran firm every day. It was then and it is now. So what happens in this system is that when police kill the mentally ill, is that the system closes around, it closes ranks around those police officers who've done the murder, and then they protect the murderer rather than protecting the rights of the citizens or the victims' survivors. Do you find that to be the case, 5309?
Yes, I do.
That when the mentally ill are brutalized, when they are killed, the system closes ranks around the police officers who did the killing or who did the brutality, rather than making sure that the family members get due process of law. Do you find that to be the case?
Yes, I do.
That's
they
what
hide
happens.
It.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you agree with that, 8522?
Yes, they could co-conspire with one another to protect their people, not the ones that are disabled, nor the families that are the disabled citizens. The police department, the courts, and all protect these individuals and give them immunity, and they should not be entitled to any type of immunity when they kill someone or take the rights of the disability.
So that's what happens. This caller, her voice is very low right now, but she said that immunity to police officers seem to have immunity when they do these crimes. And so we ask you, U.S. Senate Subcommittee, we ask you to also, while you're looking at CIT training for police officers, please consider the fact that the mentally ill that police officers do safely arrest, they are then going into the prison industrial complex where these people who are holding them and responsible for guarding them and protecting their human and civil rights behind bars are oftentimes brutal. They're oftentimes brutal. And so they also need CIT training, but moreover, the most important change that needs to be made, and not just for mentally ill people, but for all people, is that police officers, arresting police officers and prison guards and jail guards, they all need to be held accountable for the injuries and deaths that happen. We don't need a system where the only thing that's done is that, if anything, is that the cases of abuse or death are investigated and the police officers who have done the offense are given a vacation while an investigation is being conducted, and they are given a paid vacation. And then they return to work. They return to work after they are exonerated for any offense that happened. Any offense that happened. And if you're looking for individual cases, please go to Dog Justice for the Mentally Ill and see the cases that have happened. See the deaths by police that have happened that could have been avoided and should have been avoided. See the brutality that happens, the hand bars. We're talking now to a mother who lost her daughter who had mental illness. Her daughter was raped behind bars, and she feels certain that it's on film someplace, her rape. she feels certain that the guard should have been protecting her daughter while she was being raped. But when her daughter complained about her rape, she was put in solitary confinement for 60 days. And she never quite got over that trauma. She never recovered from that trauma. And also, we talked to an advocate for the mentally ill who informed you about the rights of the mentally ill that are being ignored. She informed you about the rights to Americans with disabilities that are being ignored when it comes to mentally ill subjects. And so we thank you for holding Senate hearings regarding CIT, but we also want to let you know that CIT training will not be the total answer to stop the violence against mentally ill people in police custody. It will not. And we are concerned because this is only one aspect of H.R. 3717, the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. CIT training for police officers is only one aspect of that bill. The bill has also Medicaid insurance so that people who are experiencing mental health crisis could go to the hospital and find a bed space available for them, unlike Senator Deed's son, who was turned away. And then he tried to kill his father, and he did kill himself. We need more mental health bed space than we have. Also, we want H.R. 3717 because it has a pilot program for AOT in it. Assisted outpatient treatment. We know that assisted outpatient treatment programs work. When it was tested on people in New York, they experienced up to 95% reduction in their future hospitalizations and arrests and incarceration after being put in an AOT program that provides subsistence assistance and continued treatment mandated by the court. We know that many mentally ill people their brains don't function well enough, especially in crisis, in order to let them know you must continue your psychiatric treatment. You must take your meds. Their brains don't tell them that. Their brains tell them they're doing bad. They're as sane as anyone else. There really are Martians landing in their front lawn, and you're only pretending not to see them. When they go outside and rave at invisible people, they really see those people. In fact, they have done tests on mentally ill people, the lie detector tests, and they pass the tests. Because they really do see what they claim they see. They are hallucinating. And then another provision of the bill is for family members to be able to be privy to their loved ones' health information so they would know how to better advocate for them and help them. So we do favor crisis intervention training for police officers, but moreover, we want you to know that we favor the total H.R. 3717 bill that's before the U.S. Congress right now. And we thank you for this opportunity to speak on this matter, and we thank you for listening. God bless you, and we will be back on air at midnight Eastern Standard Time to talk some more.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Something I want to say is I'm concerned about the war veterans that come back from the war. They have post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're being incarcerated today. Many of the war veterans are in prison that should not be there. They should be special eyes with a shield of justice protecting them because they were war vets.
I agree.